I've been trying to convince you that you are rich, and I fear that there's a couple holdouts out there. You're not quite buying it yet. So if you just joined us this weekend, the premise is this, that if you look at it from a global perspective, most, if not all of us in this room would be considered rich, right? If you make $48,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. If you make $37,000 a year, 96% of the world makes less than you do, which means that most of you, and me included, we are, well, we're rich, right? A couple other things, maybe to help convince you, push you over the line, right? So get this. We can work 5 days a week and have enough and earn enough to take care of ourselves for 7 days. Work five, earn enough, have enough to take care of ourselves for seven. That's not true everywhere in the world. Even beyond that, there are some households where just one person works 5 days a week and they earn enough to take care of two, three, four, five individuals for 7 days a week. That's unheard of in other places in the world. What I'm saying is, global perspective, we're rich. Now, how rich are we? Well, I'll tell you what. Some people are so rich, they actually pay money to smack around a little white ball on the grass. That's amazing, isn't it? I hear tell there is one guy, he is so rich, he rides his motorcycle around the countryside for no particular reason. We have been abundantly blessed by God. And as we look at it from a global perspective, we truly are rich. And therefore, God has something to say to us, right? Because there are pitfalls, there are dangers of being rich. And so the two that I've zeroed in on was the fact that I don't want you to feel guilty about being rich. That isn't it at all. We should be grateful. We shouldn't feel guilty, right, because God has so abundantly blessed us, but we should be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving to God. In other words, we should acknowledge all that he's given to us and then give him thanks for all of that. The second pitfall that we want to avoid is we don't want our hope to migrate from God over into our wealth, where all of a sudden our security, our hope for the future isn't on God alone, but all of a sudden how much we have in the bank. Those are two pitfalls for people who are rich. Well, this weekend, we want to go a little bit further than that. So we looked at the pitfalls for the last 2 weeks. Now, what's the solution? What are some practical ways in which we can guard ourselves, we can fend off falling into those two traps? Well, as review, let's take a look. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. This has been the verses that we've been looking at, right? So, command those who are rich in this present world. I think I've got most of you with me now. That would be us, okay? Right? Not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, right? So there's the first danger. Don't let your hope migrate from God over into your wealth, right? Now comes the second danger. God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God richly provides everything for our enjoyment. We shouldn't feel guilty of the blessings that God has given to us. We should acknowledge it. We should appreciate it. And we should thank God because he gives them to us. He trusts us enough. But he says, I want you to enjoy them, right? So now he goes on. Well, how can we avoid those two pitfalls? Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So there's two ways. Two ways to protect our heart. That's really what we're talking about. It's our heart. It's our attitude, right? Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be, right? So what's most important to us? We want to protect our heart. And the two ways that Paul tells young Timothy, command the rich among you, right? These are the things that they can do to help themselves. He says, do good, be generous. If you want to guard against guilt, if you want to make sure that your hope doesn't migrate from God over into your wealth, the two things that you need to do is you do good and you be generous, right? So we do good. So when Paul writes to Timothy and he says, do good and be rich in good deeds, right? He's not talking about being morally good. Now, obviously, he wants them to be morally good, right? But that isn't what this word really conveys, right? What he's saying here is make a difference. Do good in this world, right? change lives, touch lives, right? Make an impact, make a difference in your community, in your neighborhood, make a difference in the world. It says, do good, be rich in good deeds. So don't just do a little bit. He says, be rich in good deeds. Now, make sure we don't misunderstand that. He's not saying, you know, if you're rich in good deeds, then God's going to smile on you and you got a one-way ticket to heaven. Doesn't work that way, right? We're talking about that God has already redeemed you through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has washed away your sins. He has saved you. He's guaranteed heaven for you. Now, in response of God's generosity and all that he's done for you, he says, be rich in good deeds. God has generously, abundantly given you blessings. Now, abundantly be a blessing to the world that you live in. You want to guard against guilt. You want to guard against your heart migrating from God over to your wealth. Do good. Because as you're making a difference in other people's lives, you're grateful for your life. As you're making a difference in other people's lives, you understand that God is the caretaker of all lives. The second thing that he says is be generous. And he actually says it twice. If you take a look at the verse, right, it says, and to be generous and willing to share. It's actually the same thing, right? The two words that are here actually mean the same thing, right? But you can't, you know, say, be generous, generous. That doesn't work in English, right? But Paul is sort of giving an emphasis here, right? He says, I'm serious about this. Rich in good deeds, and as God has been generous to you, right? Command those who are rich among you. Look at the generosity of God, right? Now, be generous to the world around you, right? So, if we want to guard our hearts, we want to make sure that we do good and that we are generous so that we give of our time and we give of our money, right? But the way in which we give is the linchpin. This is the single most important point. Why we give, the attitude with which we give, single most important thing I want you to get today. So if we look at 2 Corinthians 9:7, right? We give out of gratitude, not out of guilt. Take a look at 2 Corinthians. It says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, right? So if you're sitting here listening to the message saying, okay, here he is, he's going after my money. Nope. If that's how you feel, then don't. Absolutely not. That is not pleasing to God, that is not being grateful to God, right? We don't give because, oh, here comes the offering plate, I guess I gotta, right? Everyone else is putting something in, I guess I better put something in too, right? God says, no, don't. It defeats the purpose. Why does God say he loves a cheerful giver? Because a cheerful giver is giving out of gratitude. A cheerful giver says, I'm taking stock of all that God has given to me, and I am overwhelmed by what he's given to me. And one expression of my gratitude and thanksgiving to God is that I want to do good, and I want to give it away. I want to give part of it away. I want to change the world, right? I want to make an impact in the world by being generous, right? When we give back to God with a cheerful heart, we're saying, you know what? I'm not going to trust my wealth. I'm going to trust God. We're saying, God has given me this wealth, but I trust the giver of the wealth more than I trust the wealth. I trust the one who has richly blessed me more than the riches that he has bestowed upon me. And so when we make an impact in the world and we are generous as God is generous with us, and we do that with the right attitude, I believe that protects us from giving out of guilt, because God doesn't want anything to do with guilt giving. It doesn't do anything for him, and it actually works the opposite on you, right? God wants us to give cheerfully as a demonstration of our trust that we have in him, not trusting in the wealth which he has given to us. So the two things that we can do to guard our hearts is to do good and to be generous. So let's get one step further on practicality. How? How has God instructed us to do good and to be generous, right? Andy Stanley has what he calls the 3 P's of giving, and that's what we're going to go over today, the 3 P's of good, 3 steps to doing good and to being generous. And the first one is planned. We plan what we're going to do. We plan what we're going to give and make an impact. Most people do not plan what they're going to give away. Most people, it's just spontaneous. Studies have suggested that the average American gives away about 6% of their income, but they do it by accident. I'll tell you what I mean by that. They do it by accident. In other words, somebody invites them to a dinner, and they hear a story, they're moved, they say, hey, this is something that I should support. So they scratch on a check, and great, you're doing good, right? But if you happen to be there at the moment, then somebody at the office, somebody in the neighborhood is coming around, they're gathering up for a worthy cause. You go, well, all right, sure, and you throw in a couple bucks. You could even be sitting here during the offering and say, oh, yeah, all right, just coming by. I'll throw in a little bit there, right? And then at the end of the year, you add it all up, and you're surprised. 6%. Who knew, right? Most people give unplanned. And so at the end of the year, they're surprised, they're shocked, right, to find out how much they have given away. There's a better way. There's a better way. I mean, certainly that's a blessing, and that's doing good, but there's no thought behind it, right? You're robbing yourself from a lot of the joy in giving because it just sort of happens by accident. So the first thing about giving, right, giving of ourselves, giving of our time, giving our money, is that it's planned. We pre-decide what we're going to do. Again, let's go back to Paul. He's talking to the church at Corinth again, and he says this: on the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, so that when I come, no collections have to be made. Paul is saying, pre-decide. Decide what you're going to do. There's a piece of advice that I wish I would have been given when I was younger, and I'm going to try and bestow it on my children. And that is, before you start earning a living, before you start your career and all that, pre-decide three things. The first one, what percentage of my income do I want to live on? So before I start having bills, before I start racking things up, what is it that I'm going to live on? What am I going to save, and what am I going to give away? Pre-decide from the very beginning. So as your income goes up, right, you just keep those same percentages. I'm going to live on 80%. I'm going to live on 70%. I'm going to live on 90%, right, whatever it is. You remember the first message talked about margin, the lack of margin? We have this much coming in, but we got this much going out, and we got no margin in between. Pre-decide from the very beginning, right? Now, if you're behind the eight ball in that, right, well, then let's make a start. And pre-decide. I'm going to live on this amount, I'm going to save this amount, and I'm going to give this amount away, right? So that it's thought out beforehand. Not only, then, are you being generous, right, and doing good, but you also get the joy and the satisfaction of living by your plans, right? And the feeling that you have when you've completed, when you've actually accomplished what you've set out to do. Case in point, we have something to celebrate here at Risen Savior. November 2014, I challenged you all to make a commitment to how you're going to support the ministry here. I asked you to write it down, make it real, put a pledge in for the ministry of this church for 2015. A report hit my desk last week. 98.5% of what was pledged actually came in. That's fantastic! 98.5% of what you said you were going to give to the ministry, you actually gave. Some people gave above what they had pledged. That's a cause for celebration as individuals, as you look down and say, you know, I made that decision a year ago, and it feels pretty good. I made it, right? As a congregation, we should say, wow, you know, we made some decisions on our budget based on that. This feels good. Right? We've been honoring God by pre-deciding and thinking it through before we actually did it. If you're going to give away 6% of your income anyways, why not decide where? And think it through and pray it through and decide, yeah, this is how I'm going to be generous with the world. And you say, well, how much? Scripture's clear, it's percentage. Generosity is about percentage, not dollars. I think it only makes sense. Every one of us has a different income, right? To set a dollar amount is dumb, because what's little for one person is a lot for another person. And Scripture doesn't talk about that. Scripture talks about percentage giving, and percentage is what matters to God, right? Because generosity is measured not by dollars, but by percentage. Take a look at Jesus in Matthew. Jesus calls his disciples over. He says, come here, boys. Come here. He says, now sit here for a while. I want you to watch all the people going into the temple. and watch the people going into the temple. And it says that a lot of rich people, you might recall that's us, right? Rich people are going into the temple and they're putting in large sums of money, lots of dollars, right? And then this poor widow comes up, right? This widow comes up and she puts in, really it's a fraction of a cent. It's the smallest coin that was ever made, right? Rome didn't even recognize it. It was a Jewish coin, right? She puts that in. And then Jesus makes this astounding statement. He says, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." What? Are you kidding me? Her little fraction of a cent isn't going to make a lick of difference to the budget. Now, it won't make one difference at all, right? Then he goes on. "They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." What percent did she give? 100. 100%. So as the rich people are going by, they're tossing in tens, 20s, 50s, hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars. But what percent is that of what God has given to them? You see? Look at it a different way. If I got 100 bucks in my wallet right now, got 100 bucks in my wallet, and I decide to give a dollar away. So, it's a buck, right? Am I really going to think about a buck? No. If I have $2 in my wallet, and I give a buck away, you see the difference? I just gave away half my income. Dollars don't impress God. Percentage does. Dollars aren't about the heart. The percentage is. It's when we say, God has richly, abundantly blessed me, and now I'm going to take a percentage of that and give it back to him. All right, I'm going to try and bring this together. So you all been wondering why I got this table here with the black cloth on it. All right. This is our illustration for today. All right. Let's say that you invite Grandma over, and Grandma brings her world-famous pumpkin pie. Right? This is from Grandma Fry. Right? I almost went to Grandma Safeway, but went to Grandma Fry's. Right? And this is her world-famous pumpkin pie. Right? Now, Grandma, she bought all the ingredients for the pie. She mixed it all up. She lovingly baked it in the oven, pulled it out to cool, and now she's brought it over for all of us to share. There's one or two ways that I can approach this pie. Grandma can put it down. I can grab the knife and go, "All righty then, let's slice it up." And I start slicing up pie pieces, and I start handing them out, and I start handing them out, and I look down, and there's nothing but crumbs. And there's poor Grandma. "Can I have a piece?" You know? Now, is your first thought, "Oh, crybaby. You want a piece of your own pie?" Right? And so we scrape off a little crumbs to her. You wouldn't do that to Grandma. Right? I wouldn't do that to Grandma. No way. Right? So the second way is this. So I've got the pumpkin pie. And I take a look around. How many guests do I have that are here for dinner? Right? And I count them up. Oh, I'm going to need that many pieces. If I'm going to take care of everybody, I can't just start slicing this thing up. I could run out, right? So I start slicing up according to how many I have. But who gets the first piece? I don't know about you. I'd give it to Grandma. She baked it. She made it, right? She'd probably object. That's what grandmas do, right? But you'd forge ahead anyways. You wouldn't listen to Grandma, right? But when Grandma wants a piece of pie, what size piece does she always want? She said, "I just want a small one. I just want a small piece of pie." "All right, Grandma. Well, we're just going to give you then a small piece of the pie." Right? You know, try and take it out there. And there we go. There's Grandma's piece of the pie. Would you give that piece of pie to Grandma? I'd be a little embarrassed to give Grandma that small of a piece of pie. Okay? But she says, "That's all I want, really. That's all I want." This piece of pie is 1/10 of the entire pie. The God of the universe created you and everything in this world. It all belongs to him. Everything we have is traced back to him, right? I know that you work hard for your money. I like to believe that I work hard too. But God is the one who gave me the brains to work. He's given the strength to work, the fortitude to work, so that I could be abundantly blessed by him and have all this wealth. And God says, I want you to enjoy it. But when you slice up the pie, he says, in thanksgiving, in gratitude, to keep your attitude in check, he says, could I have 1/10 of that pie? So God says, keep 90% and slice that up ever how you want. The mortgage, the car payment, the clothes, the food, whatever it is, savings. But just a small piece he wants back. To do that, you have to plan for it. And you have to pick a percentage that you're going to give back to him. That's how you honor God. That's how you bless God. And you don't give out of guilt, but you give out of gratitude. So the first two P's, it's planned, it's a percentage. The third one is progressive. In other words, if we are truly generous with God, then we want to grow. We want to grow in doing good. We want to grow in our generosity, right? So for some of you right now, you're thinking 10% ain't gonna happen. You don't have the margin, right? It's not even possible for you to give 10%. I get that. That doesn't mean you still shouldn't pre-decide. What percent can you do? I mean, if you're like the average American, you're gonna give 6% away by accident? Maybe that's a starting point. Instead of doing it by accident, do it with purpose and do it with intent and do it with some thought behind it, right? But wherever it is, right? But then you're not satisfied with that because God has given you much so that you want to give away much, right? And make a bigger impact in this world. We want to do good and we want to be generous. It's time to make it real. It's time for us to make it happen. So November 2014, I challenged you all to make a commitment to the ministry that we have here at Risen Savior. Just under 300 of you did that. I think we can have 500 this year. I think 500 of us can take the piece of paper and say, yep, I'm going to pre-decide, I'm going to plan ahead. So if you're a member here, frequent visitor, you're going to get a mailing from me this week, and we're going to talk about the three P's of giving, right? And I'm going to challenge you to make a commitment to God with how you're going to pre-decide what you're going to give away, and specifically what you're going to give away for the ministry here at Risen Savior. Now, first of all, I think it does a couple things, and I truly do, because I think this is extremely important, of keeping our hearts centered, not letting our hope migrate, right? So we're going to say, God, I trust you. I'm going to pre-decide to give this to you because I'm going to trust in the giver of my wealth, not in the wealth. But are you going to give it with the right attitude? Otherwise, don't give it at all. You're going to give it with joy and gratitude, not out of guilt, right? If you're struggling with the guilt, then don't do it. Wait until God works on your heart. But in gratitude of looking at all that God has given to you and saying, you know what? If I'm honest, I am rich. I am rich. And so I'm going to give a portion of that back to God for his ministry. Now, there's another aspect of this, and I just feel like I got to be transparent with you and be clear about this, okay? By you making that commitment, you help your church. You absolutely help the ministry here at Risen Savior and help us to be good stewards as we look forward. After seeing last year about how much of the pledges came in, that gives us confidence then when the pledges come in this year to set the budget, which will go from July 1 to June 30th, right, as we move forward. And as we want to move ahead in our ministry, we have great things that are happening here. But as we want to move ahead, we want to be good stewards and we want to be good planners as well. So as far as I'm concerned, there's three top priorities for our next year as far as our budget is concerned. One, we need to give more of the missions. We got to step up with that somehow, right? Two is that we got to keep paying off our debt and get the monkey off our back. And three is we really need a staff member. Honest to goodness, at least one more staff member for us to advance the ministry here. We need help in youth ministry. We need help in discipleship. We just need overall help for all the things that God is opening up the doors for us here. So I'm just being transparent. First and foremost, I think it's for your spiritual life. But if you want the practical side of it, The practical side of it is the ministry that we share here together as we seek to connect people to His Son, Jesus. Because I believe that Jesus and the Father and the Spirit has made most, if not all of us, rich. And now He tells us how to be rich, to guard our hearts by doing good and by being generous. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, Your generosity is overwhelming to us. You give us everything. Everything we need for this life and everything that we need for the next life through the death and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. I pray that all of us would recognize all the blessings we have. We wouldn't feel guilty about it. We'd acknowledge that it's all from You. And with gratitude in our heart, we would seek to do good. And we would seek to be generous, generous with our time and generous with the wealth that You've given to us. I pray that Your Holy Spirit works in our hearts, gives us the guidance and the leadership so that we can step forward in faith and in thanksgiving to You. In Jesus' name, amen.